The U.S. Surgeon General just released an advisory outlining the direct link between alcohol consumption and increased cancer risk. We have joining us here on the show Dr. Christian Brown with Piedmont Medical Center. He is a triple board certified medical expert in obesity medicine, general surgery, and surgical critical care with a special interest in bariatric surgery. And we want to welcome Dr. Brown to Palmetto Mornings. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
So this report comes out that says there is a direct link between alcohol consumption and increased cancer risk. So people hearing that might go, oh my gosh, I just had a beer over the weekend.
Yeah.
Am I going to be okay? So set the parameters here when we talk about alcohol consumption. What are we talking about exactly? And do you have to, is it over a period of years?
Yes. Every study is over a period of years, so it will increase your risk over a period of years up to a certain point. What we're specifically talking about is a drink of alcohol. Well, what is a drink? You could be drinking hard alcohol, you could be drinking wine, you could be drinking beer. So when we're looking at these studies, a drink is defined as specifically a 12-ounce beer, a 1.5-ounce shot of hard alcohol or hard liquor, or a 5-ounce glass of wine. People who are at increased risk of developing cancers are actually anybody who takes in any amount of alcohol, but that risk is relative to the amount of alcohol that you intake. So the more alcohol you intake, the more likely you are to develop a cancer over the course of your lifetime. The three categories that the Surgeon General broke those drinks up into is 1 to 2 drinks per day, 2 to 4 drinks per day, or greater than 4 drinks per day. Those that drink greater than 4 drinks per day are at the greatest risk of developing alcohol-related cancers like mouth, throat, and voice box cancers, esophageal cancers, or the tube that connects your mouth to your stomach, colorectal cancers like we've talked about on this program before, and interestingly, breast cancers. The reason that that happens is probably multifactorial. Alcohol is metabolized by the liver or broken down by the liver and excreted by the kidneys when we urinate. It creates byproducts that help not only dissolve other carcinogens in the things that we eat and or smoke. Lots of drinkers also smoke. Around 1/3 of people who drink more than 2 drinks per day smoke a cigarette or a cigar at the same time. That can help dissolve some of those carcinogens that are in the cigarettes and cigars and deliver them to tissues in your body. The byproducts that alcohol breaks down into, specifically acetaldehyde, can bind directly to DNA, which helps damage DNA over the course of time. And the more DNA that's damaged, the more likely you are to develop diseases, specifically cancer. It also creates lots of stress or oxidative stress for cells, and that not only damages DNA, but all of the cellular infrastructure that helps create proteins, which is how our cells express themselves. And then for cancers like breast cancer, specifically for women, breast cancer can that risk can be raised from around 11 to around 16% if you're drinking more than 2 drinks per day. And the reason for that is that alcohol alters the amount of hormones that we have in our body. So it's important for metabolizing in all those different ways and affecting cancer risk in all those different ways.
So you broke down how they determine the number of drinks, sure. 2 or less, 2 or more. What, though, is the period of time that these drinks have occurred? So let's say you're a casual drinker. You might have 1 or 2 drinks of alcohol a week, but it's inconsistent. It might be 3 to 4 weeks in between your next sip of alcohol.
Right. That's a really hard question to answer because all of these studies are designed over different lengths of time. And the most powerful studies are studies that combine patients from multiple studies called meta-analyses. Those have been performed, or the studies themselves are a combination of studies worldwide. The most prominent of those studies is about 250,000 Australians that look specifically over a 10-year period. It's really hard to answer your question directly simply because any amount of alcohol will increase your risk of cancer, whether that's a social drinker who drinks once every month versus a person who drinks 4 to 6 drinks a day. What we do know is that the less you drink, the less likely you are to get alcohol-related cancers, which is probably the most important thing.
Is the study also done with a certain age group? Are you doing this like with people in their 40s who have been able to drink for a longer period of time? Are you testing people in their early 20s where sometimes alcohol consumption might be a little bit more, or are you doing, you know, 60 and above?
It is. Everybody's always 21 and older when we're talking about these studies, because that's the legal drinking age, at least in the United States, 18 overseas. But again, there's variability in the studies, so we're trying to combine all of those studies together to get the most powerful set of data. So I can't answer that question specifically.
We're speaking with Dr. Christian Brown with Piedmont Medical Center following this report with a direct link between alcohol consumption and increased cancer risk. And again, you keep saying it's like alcohol-related cancers.
Correct.
So there are other cancers out there that people might say, I got this cancer, but I never had a lick of alcohol. So this is cancer-related or alcohol-related cancers.
Specifically.
So people might hear this, Dr. Brown, and then go, oh my gosh, am I doomed? I drink a lot. I drank a lot in my 20s. You know, I drink casually now. How should folks take in this information?
Well, we're specifically talking about modifiable risk factors. About 9 in 10 Americans who walk around, if you ask them on the street, know that cigarettes can cause cancer. Around 9 in 10 know that asbestos can cause cancer. Around 9 in 10 know that radiation can cause cancer. But about 4 in 10 know that there is some link between alcohol consumption and cancer risk. So you can't do anything about the past, but you can reduce your risk of developing cancers in the future by recognizing that alcohol can cause certain types of cancer. Again, that's cancers of the throat, mouth, esophagus, colon, rectum, and breast cancer in females.
It's a great analogy. It's a really good example to your point. Yeah, you can pull all the folks in the world and say, well, cigarettes give you cancer. Will vaping help? Yes. Alcohol, if I was asked that, I would say, what? No. Yeah. It's a liquid.
Yes, and it goes counter to kind of what we've been taught over the last two or three decades. Mm-hmm. We always talk about moderate drinkers as having a decreased risk of heart disease. Well, that's not true for cancer specifically. It is a proponent of causing cancer. Even those studies that talk about light to moderate drinking in patients, there has been in the last decade or so some question of how those studies were performed, and we're going back and reanalyzing some of that data to reevaluate our consensus about whether or not it helps or hurts with the cardiopulmonary system as well.
Well, and that kind of leads me to my next question. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's just because we haven't done as many studies that that statistic is 4 in 10, like, or do you think that it was on the advertising piece that they just didn't want people to know that it was linked like cigarettes and tobacco?
I think it was, again, like everything, probably multifactorial. I think it took a while to develop as many studies because the risk that is associated with alcohol is not as obvious as it is with cigarettes or smoking. So it took longer to develop the number of studies to get that data set to be able to actually take a step back, look at all comers, and calculate that risk for patients.
Yeah, interesting.
So, Dr. Brown, what is your hope with at least presenting this information to our audience? Do you hope that those that do drink on the regular will just start to reduce how much they drink and the types of alcohol that they drink? Because we certainly don't want to scare people out there.
Yeah.
You know, alcohol is a big part of a lot of functions. But I guess in moderation, and when in doubt, if you don't have to reach for a glass of wine or beer, to try another option.
I want patients to know that just because you drink, you don't necessarily develop a cancer immediately, right? It depends on lots of different risk factors. Those might be genetic risk factors that run in your family. That might be because you also smoke. It might be because of other medications that you're taking or other problems that you have. So I want patients to at least know that there is an association between alcohol and developing certain types of cancer, and to make an educated decision for themselves when they're having a drink, how much they're going to have and how long they're going to have that for.
Or what they're going to have, maybe.
Exactly.
As well.
That's well said, because there are people that have never smoked a day in their life and then they get diagnosed with lung cancer.
That's correct.
And I've heard folks say, I've never smoked a day in my life. How come I got lung cancer? Sometimes it's your body. But with armed with new information like this, that again, according to the Surgeon General, in this report, there is a direct link between alcohol consumption and increased cancer risk, specifically alcohol-related cancers. And just remind us again what those cancers are.
Oropharyngeal cancers are cancers of the mouth, throat, or voice box. Esophageal cancers, which is the tube that connects your throat to your stomach. Colorectal cancers, like we talked about on this program before, and breast cancers, particularly in women.
So just arm yourself with knowledge. That's what we like to do here on Palmetto Mornings. And, you know, just be part of the conversation, right? It's your body. Take care of it, for sure. Dr. Christian Brown, again, is with Piedmont Medical Center. Dr. Brown, thank you so much for bringing this to our attention so we can continue to educate others in our community.